That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to episode 143 of That Great Business Show, where we bring you great tips, insights, and unique business opportunities, all in a perfectly packaged podcast with thanks to Dundeal.ie. I am Conal O'Mora and Fáilteach. On this episode, we have one of Ireland's best-known female entrepreneurs, Una O'Hagan, owner of the Mars Pharmacy chain that now serves more than 60 other countries online. And despite the size of her business, she makes sure to get behind the counter at every one of her pharmacies, keeping in touch with both staff and customers, all with thanks to Dundeal.ie, the home of your next car, van or truck. Dundeal.ie.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a seven-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit Dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
De Facto Shaving Oil, the world's best shaving oil. Made in Mayo, sold worldwide.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
Now, I met this episode's guest when I was MC at a pharmacy conference. I had heard Una O'Hagan's story often about how, as a very recently qualified pharmacist, she managed to buy, she might say, blag her first pharmacy. Her empire has stretched quite a bit since then, and she now employs nearly 150 people across 9 stores. But what I hadn't realized, and something Una went into in some detail, was that Mars is now global in the sense of selling online to the world. Regular listeners know that one of our strap lines at That Great Business Show HQ is that all businesses should try to get off the island. We're just too small here, and there's a big, big world out there. And of course, Una isn't just about her business. She is and has been a huge supporter of women in business and is a mentor to many, many women-led businesses through the Enterprise Ireland-backed Going for Growth program. We'll take Una's backstory as read. We're here for the future to pick this Wonder Woman's brains about how she does it and does so much more. Una O'Hagan, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you, Conal. Thank you.
How do you do it?
It was a great difficulty.
Like, you are running a business and yet you've taken time out to come, and thank you so much for doing so, to the podcast. You do a vast amount of marketing of the brand.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're trying to stand out from the crowd. Conal, we have to get our word out there. We do put a big focus on, just trying to punch above our weight, because we're competing in a very competitive space, I guess. We have a lot of multinationals in Ireland in the pharmacy sector. And what we're trying to do is, I suppose, show how we're different, show how we're very a service-led pharmacy offering rather than a self-select offering. And I suppose when you come to Mars, we talk a lot about coming into pharmacy, not just when you're sick, because obviously people would associate pharmacy with prescription medication, or when you're ill, that's a place you go to. But actually, to turn the dial on that and to think about coming to a pharmacy and speaking to incredibly educated and highly skilled people about staying well. So I often say to my team, we're like teachers, really, as opposed to pharmacists. We're here to educate. We're here to tell people what they have to do in order to stay well. And we talk a lot about preventative health and having a proactive approach to healthcare. Because I'm a firm believer, if you catch these things early, or if you know maybe what might be ahead for you, you may be put on certain medications, say, for example, for type 2 diabetes. And if you know how to manage that condition well, then that doesn't mean that you know that you're going to end up with a much more severe illness. So I firmly believe whether you have a long-term illness or you don't, you're concerned about developing a long-term illness, then we can help you in pharmacy.
At that conference, you were, I think, given 15 minutes to speak. You went on a bit longer than that.
I think I usually do. So beware today.
But one of the takeaways for me was the emphasis that you have placed on service. It's service, 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 yeah. and then a bit of service,
yeah.
which is all well and good because everybody wants to be brilliant at service.
Yeah.
But you've cracked it. You've also, you continue to grow and you are growing in a full employment marketplace. So where are you finding, or how are you finding, or what are you doing differently to find the people who are brilliant at service?
Yeah, well, I guess it's you know, it hasn't been easy and, you know, we've got a lot of things wrong. That's the first thing. And I guess we've learned as we've gone along. It's about people, like business is about people at the end of the day. And I often say to my team, you know, you could stand on Baggot Street, which is where our first pharmacy is. We have a multinational brand on Baggot Street who are competing against us, not 10 doors down. Yeah. And there's a customer walking out of Donnybrook Fair and they have to get a prescription or they have to get something or they want some piece of advice about their health or maybe somebody in their family's advice. They're going to cross the road and what's going to make them come into us? We stock the same products. Yeah. We have the same kind of layout in pharmacy. It's down to people. That's it. You know, people come into us to speak to our people. So it is about recruiting the best and training the best people.
But what are you doing? And I mean Una O'Hagan in the broadest sense,
yeah.
that you're finding these people and how Mary or John walks in.
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for a core set of values. So it's back to who we are as a company, what makes us stand out, I guess. And we don't stray away from that, Conal. So there's 6 key values in our business. Our entire culture is built upon those. And we are looking for people who emulate those values. And we look for that in the job description, which we post, and in an interview stage as well.
But Mary and John walk in yeah. and they sit in front of you. They've yeah. obviously done their prep. They've looked at all the yeah. websites and all the rest.
Yeah.
What are you looking? What smell? What colour? What type? What are you looking for? What twitch are you looking for out of them that will tell you they're for us?
So we're looking for empathy and care. At the end of the day, in pharmacy, generally, most people come in because they're concerned about their health.
No sociopaths here.
So we're looking for people who will go above and beyond for customers and be able to adapt their skill depending on the customer that's in front of them.
How do you ask that question? I mean, are you empathetic? Do you love dogs? Or
No, we don't ask that. No. We look for examples of times when they've gone out of their way to either solve a customer problem or to deal with an irate customer. Or just the last kindest thing that they've done for somebody. That tells you a lot, you know? And we'll have a few little curveballs thrown in those interviews, which don't make sense to, I guess, the interviewee.
That's what I'm looking for. What are they?
I can't tell you, because everybody's listening.
No, you have to tell us, because we are trying to help other businesses yeah. learn from you.
Well, like as simple as what's the last kindest thing that you've done for someone?
That is an interesting question,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know, that tells you a lot about somebody, I guess, because that gives yeah. you a perception of what they think is kind as well.
Of course.
And you don't want a scripted answer. And sometimes we hear the most wonderful things there, you know, where people have gone above and beyond, maybe for somebody they know or for a family member. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for people who at the counter will do something extraordinary for maybe an older lady or gentleman, or maybe it's somebody young, and we're looking for somebody who can adapt their skills, because you have to have a huge amount of emotional intelligence in pharmacy. You know, you don't know who's going to come through the door day to day. It could be something absolutely chaotic, or it could be something, you know, people could be dealing with just a brand new mom, an elderly gentleman. Then the next customer could be somebody who has Googled something and thinks that they've got a serious illness from Dr. Google. You need to be able to change and adapt. It's not, every customer is different. And so you need to be able to put yourself into that customer's shoes. And as we say often in our training, you've got to think, meet that customer where they're at. So if it is an older lady, you treat that customer as if she's your granny. And you speak to her as if she's your granny. And then if the next customer is, you know, somebody in their 20s who is just concerned, they've read something in Dr. Google, put yourself into the shoes of that customer. So you need to be able to flex and adapt. And
the inner you is saying, Jesus, I hate Dr. Google.
Well, that's true,
This is a question.
So much false information on it, you know?
When was the last time you served a customer, as a matter of interest?
Like last week, Friday. Yeah, I'm in the stores a lot. Yeah.
And you put on the white coat and you...
Well, we don't wear white coats in bars. I don't know.
put a little thing, Una.
And I love getting my customers. Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
I'd say they love when you come in.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But it's so important for me, Conal, because then you get a sense of what's going on the ground. You stay close to your customers and you stay close to your people as well. It's really important to meet new staff members, to welcome them, to make them feel part of. And to get a sense of, you know, why did they come and join us? Why did they leave maybe a competing brand? What was it they didn't like about that brand that we make sure that we don't, you know, fall into a trap of? It's so important to talk and listen. Actually, I spend more time listening than talking to our people and to our customers. Yeah.
You also work incredibly hard. Because you run the business.
Yeah.
I mentioned before that you do all of the marketing. I know you've got a marketing team, but you are always out there. We'll get on to the mentoring as well.
Yeah.
You never stop, do you?
Don't tend to, no. But I love it. I love what I do. Like, you know, so it doesn't feel like work to me. It feels like I'm just passionate about it. Yeah.
How much work do you do?
So I tend to take the weekends off now, but I would work like from probably 6:30 in the morning until whatever time I go to bed. Really? It's not stuff.
Okay. I felt as much. Going back to the service element.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by the growth of your online business.
Yeah, I know.
To remind people again, you are, with respect, a small brand.
Yes.
In a small city.
Yes.
In Europe.
Yes.
And yet you have, did you tell me that you've gone into 60 countries?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably about 79, Conal. Yeah, yeah. It's mad, isn't it? It's crazy.
How, and maybe more importantly for my curiosity, why, what are you doing? Anybody can click and go international on any of the big brand names, or I'm sure you hate them, but Amazon or whatever.
Yeah.
What are you doing that is giving you that kind of growth?
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're listening to customers and we're meeting them where they are at and we are servicing their needs. It's simple as that.
But where are they finding you? Why would they go to Mars?
Well, when we ask them, they say that they come to us for information. That's the first and foremost. They may have touched the brand because somebody has sent them a product and then they liked our packaging or they liked the way we did things. They like the look and the feel of the website. They like our social media channels. You know, we are hugely educational in all aspects, not only in store, because I firmly believe, you know, we go to college for 5 years, an integrated program now as pharmacists. We have a huge wealth of knowledge in our heads as pharmacists. And I feel we have a duty of care to actually partake that knowledge to our customers. It's such a shame. It's such a waste of our skills if we don't do that. And that's why I always say we're like teachers. And our teams on the ground have a huge amount of skills as well. So we train our teams to a high, high level, unlike many, maybe, of our competitors. But the most important thing is that we try and encourage them to spend as much time with customers to, again, share that knowledge. And what we try to do is we take that model, I guess, and replicate that online. And we do that through, in particular, through our social media channels. And so consumers often don't know what's going on for them. They don't understand the condition that they have. They don't understand why they might need, say, vitamin D or why they should look after their gut health. That's a good example. So we try and explain that in small bite-sized pieces so that they can get that understanding. And then my whole view is, and this probably comes from my mum, is that knowledge is power. Once you tell people the why, then they start to actually understand and they'll make their own decision up. We're there just to give them the information so that they can make informed decisions about their own health and well-being. And then generally what happens is customers get that information from us and then as a result purchase products. So we never lead with the products. We always lead with the education. That's what makes us different.
Just to go a little bit into the backstory, when you mentioned your mum there, both your dad was a builder and your mum ran a factory, isn't that right?
She did. She ran a manufacturing factory, yeah.
So there's a lingerie factory, if I remember
correctly. Lingerie. She made bras for Marks and Spencer's. Courtauld's lingerie, yeah.
Did you smell or did you pick up the business news from them?
Yeah, 100%. I'd say probably.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah. it was just the household we grew up in, you know, hard work. My dad worked incredibly hard. My mum worked really hard as well. But I probably, looking back, I didn't realise that at the time. You never do, you sure don't. but definitely she is my biggest role model. She's my biggest inspiration in life, my mum. And I guess you ask, why do I do what I do? It's probably because that's all I have known. I have learned all that I try to do for other women from my mum. Simple as that.
And we'll get on, I mentioned, to the mentoring, because I still have to get back to the two things about the online. One is the growth and where it can bring you.
Yeah.
But you were very candid at the conference and you said that you had invested a lot of money into online.
Yeah.
And it hadn't given you a return for quite a while.
No, not at all. Sure, when we set it up, the backstory is as simple. Like, we always listen to our customers. We always survey our customers through social media, and we have a loyalty program called M Plus. We're always asking them, what more can we do? And back in 2012, 2013, at that stage, this pre-COVID now, don't forget, we have a number of stores in city centre around, a lot of office areas. So a lot of our customers in Baggot Street and Barrow Street, where there would be a lot of offices, were basically telling us, we don't have time to wait at the counter at lunch hour. Because, they would be queuing for a sandwich, then it would be coming in, queuing for us, then we might have the product, we might not have the product, and so on and so forth. So the feedback was, if you set up a click and collect service, then we could be guaranteed that we could just scoot in, pick up the product, and we'd have to be paid for. So that's why we set up online, to service our customers locally better. But very quickly, as soon as we did that, people started engaging with us and said, I would like that product too. Because of course, whenever we set it up, we started talking about it. This is a service we have. And customers started asking us. So we knew we had to go fully transactional, because we were running to the post office with orders left, right and centre. And this was kind of getting very inefficient and crazy. So in a short space of time, we made it fully transactional. And then, of course, what are you going to do? You're going to start talking about it. And the more we talked about it, the bigger it grew. It's simple as that. And this is back in the day when I was told by everybody, and I mean everybody, you're crazy, you're mad, nobody's going to buy from an online pharmacy. Sure, there's a pharmacy in every street. There's five pharmacies in some streets. Why would you do that? But I just knew. And I knew because my customers told me. It's as simple as that. But at the beginning, we treated it as if it was a bricks and mortar store. The same concept, in terms of retail. We didn't understand the skill set required for an online e-commerce business.
I love it.
We didn't. It's as simple as that.
Sometimes useful, yeah.
Yeah, it would be useful. And looking back now, I wish I had gone and learned all of this. But and the reality was, there was only one other online pharmacy at that time. Like, Boots didn't have an online offering. Lloyd's didn't have an online offering. We were first movers in this space. So we had nowhere to actually get the skills. I was, at that time, heavily involved in retail excellence. There was very few online retailers, even in the retail industry, never mind pharmacy. So, there was nowhere to go and get the skills, believe it or not. So we learned by our mistakes. We burned a lot of cash because we didn't understand the platforms, and we just didn't have the skill set, simple as that. But, we've learned, I guess, as we've gone on. We lost a lot of money for a number of years on it. But now we're in a different place. So, we do have the skill set now. We do have the infrastructure. We have the logistics. We can scale it at mass. And this is what's taken us off the island.
And is it making you money now?
It sure is, yeah.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Because, listen, again, so many questions, so little time.
Yeah.
If you are going to scale it, how big can you go? I mean, it is infinite. Digital is beautiful because
yes,
it is infinite.
Is
that your plan?
Yes, absolutely. Well, our plan is to do both, really, because a lot of customers still like to talk to staff members in store. And you can understand that with the product mix that we have. We're not selling hoodies. We're selling, wellness products or skincare products, and skincare can be complex in itself. So it's going to be a blend. Okay. But what we want to do in terms of our bricks and mortar pharmacy portfolio, we want to be a lot more strategic about it. We obviously now know where our customers come from. We know what areas in Dublin that we have a lot of customers from, and also around the country. So we would be much more selective about where we open a pharmacy now, because we want to serve communities that we feel are underserved, even though there may be a pharmacy in them, if that makes sense. But they're not being served the best they can be. So, but it will be a blend, because a lot of our online customers still like to come in and speak to a team member about a particular product. So it's very fluid. It's online, offline. So people research online and come into store and purchase, and vice versa. People research offline, go in, talk to the team members, have a little look, touch, feel, and then come and purchase online. So it's very fluid.
As they purchase, but sometimes they'll go to the other store, which is cheaper.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a given. What can you do? It's very competitive online as well, yeah.
Let us look into the future in a second now, and we'll talk about what the future pharmacy and pharmacy in general will look like. But first, we'll have to take a quick break.
Dundale Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundale. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundale.ie today to start the search for your next car.
All that great business show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
And with me is Una O'Hagan, who is the owner of Mars Pharmacies, now a multinational business. And Una, you're just talking about the future being online. And I'm just wondering how big you're lying in bed or sitting on your couch or whatever, and you're dreaming. How big are you dreaming about where you can bring Mars? Because at some stage, and don't deny this, the business will be for sale.
Not yet.
Not yet, but at some stage.
Yeah, well, who knows what the future holds. But yeah, no, we're still growing and I still intend to continue the growth. This business still really excites me. There's so much more we can do. So much more we can do in terms of our dispensary offering, in terms of our, you know, prescription offering, and so much more we can do in retail. And you're right, the sky is the limit when it comes to online, because, you know, you can have thousands of people on your website at any one time, rather than, you know, can you imagine thousands of people in Baggot Street? It just wouldn't work, you know. So, yeah, so the future is bright, I think. However, there's lots and lots of challenges we have to overcome in order to deliver best for our customers the way we would like to be able to do.
And the health system here, which is always creaking, and I'll get on to maybe asking you to fix it in a second. But at the moment, the pharmacists are saying we can do an awful lot.
Yeah.
And the health system is trying to push people towards pharmacy to become a doctor. Mm-hmm. Doctors are trying to push people into hospital. Hospitals are trying to push people back to doctors.
Mm-hmm. It's incredibly inefficient, let's just say.
Would Una O'Hagan, superior business person, do to fix it?
Well, like, sometimes I just think it is so simple. I can't understand why people don't see it. So the number one thing is about serving patients better. Patients deserve better. And the amount of red tape, bureaucracy, inefficiency in the service is just shocking. You see it firsthand. You see it in hospitals. I'm sure anybody from a hospital would say the same thing. See it in GPs. You see it.
Tell me
with
one of your pet hates or pet peeves.
My pet peeve probably is that despite the fact that patients know the value of community pharmacy, despite the fact other healthcare providers that we work with in close collaboration, particularly post-COVID, know the value of pharmacy, policymakers don't understand it recognize it.
What do you want them, the policymakers, to do?
The magic wand would be to have a look at what's right under their noses that they can't seem to see.
Which is?
You have a highly qualified healthcare provider in community pharmacy, in pharmacy in general, who is working in every single community across this country. I think 85% of people live within a 1 kilometre distance of a community pharmacy, and I think 50% live within even shorter than that. So we are accessible, we are open. Generally, you don't have to pay anything to go and speak to a pharmacist. We're right under your noses, we're highly qualified, we are the experts in medicine, and yet our skills are not used clinically.
What would you like to be doing that you're not allowed to do at the moment?
Well, we have to. It's as simple as this. We do. The health service is creaking at its knees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have an aging population, and with that comes age-related diseases. We have people who are living longer on multiple medications, so as we call polypharmacy. We have a huge compliance problem. I'd say 50% of the population do not take their medicines correctly and therefore do not manage their illnesses properly.
Whose fault is that?
Well, it comes from the system. It comes from the fact then that we're tied up in pharmacy, doing so much red tape, bureaucracy, filling in forms, going on one platform to another platform to whatever. The pharmacist is tied up in the dispensary and is not, as a result, patient facing. We need to be freed up so we can spend more time with our patients, so we can manage their medications better and give them the advice that they deserve better. And also, there are so many services. Oh my God, so many services we could be doing. When you look at what we do now for flu vaccinations, what we did for COVID vaccinations, what could we not be doing to help free up GPs, to give them the information so they can make the clinical decision about certain medications, and to free up hospitals?
But you know that it's a turf war. It's a land grab.
It shouldn't be.
I know it shouldn't be, but you're going to get the doctors making sure that you do not take their business.
I don't agree with that.
But you just said I can go into a pharmacy and get my consultation for free. If I go down to the local GP, it's 50 or 60 quid.
No. I'm talking about new services. I'm talking about services that we can be doing in terms of preventative care, screening services. For example, in our business, we do 24-hour blood pressure monitoring now. We get the information, we send it to our GP colleagues. Our GP colleagues now has the information in front of them to make a better decision about that patient's care, to adjust their medicines or so on and so forth. We do cholesterol screening. Same thing. We point that information then to our GP colleagues. So we are working in collaboration as a result, much more, even locally ourselves. We have started during COVID, actually pre-COVID, working with the liver wellness unit in St. James's Hospital, Professor Suzanne Norris. She runs a liver wellness screening program out there, which takes 6 months to get into. Referral from your GP, first of all. And this is like a silent epidemic in type 2 diabetics and also in anybody who's carrying extra weight, so obesity. People are walking around with non-alcohol fatty liver disease. They do not know, right? It's completely reversible and it turns into cirrhosis. So because she could see this as a huge epidemic, she approached us about running liver wellness screens in our pharmacies. And we do that. And we point those people directly to her. What does that mean? It means that patients get accessible care, right, faster. They can manage their condition, right? They can get the treatment that they need from their GP or their hospital expert much faster. And we are used much more clinically in pharmacy. Look at the UK. Look at the NHS for all its faults, right? It saved the UK government at least £1 billion by the minor ailment scheme. It is ludicrous to think that we have patients who are, I'll give you a good example. Last week in Barrow Street, I was in Barrow Street. There was a mum who came in. She was screaming her head off, so upset. And her daughter, 2-year-old daughter, was there with her eye completely closed, an eye infection. She had conjunctivitis. She had tried to get in to see a GP for a week. That little girl was like that for a week. She had gone and sat in the hospital for 6 hours, right? What kind of patient care is that? I know what she needs, yeah, but I can't give it to her.
Why not?
Because we're controlled by regulation. It's a prescription medicine. There was no Broline on the shelf because Broline's been out of stock. She needed chloramycetin eye drops, but I can't give it to her. We phoned 4 GPs to see if she, everybody's busy. There's nobody can get any patients for two weeks. And that mum had to leave with a 2-year-old child. That's what's going on the ground. We can actually, if we were given the regulation and the policy, like, don't forget, we are the experts in medicine. Yeah.
We are the
experts in medicine. Yeah. So we could be treating eye conjunctivitis, minor skin conditions, managing asthma better, cystitis, thrush, you name it. There's a whole load of things that we could be doing to free up our GP colleagues so they can see the more critical cases. It's about pointing care in the right direction.
Will it happen?
It has to happen.
Is Una O'Hagan going to take over the Department of Health?
No, I certainly am not. But it has to happen. And I'll tell you why. Because hospitals can't see patients like they used to be able to see. Patients, as I said, are living longer. We have a huge explosion in different healthcare conditions. So when you look at diabetes, obesity, so on and so forth in this country. GPs, there's not as many GPs and they're not doing as many hours. So I'm sure your listeners would agree that it's harder to get in to see a GP appointment. So who is left to do it, Conal? We have to do it. So we have to have the policy in place to do it. It's as simple as that.
And we are a business program. And all I'm hearing is, fabulous, the market is growing for you rather well.
Yeah, Yeah, well, listen, come
opportunity.
Here. Opportunity. It is opportunity, but we need to be able to use our skills as well. Don't forget, we are healthcare providers. So yes, we're in retail. It is incredibly frustrating that patients have to put up with this nonsense and the patients have to wait so long for care when, A, they could have their screening done so that they could manage their condition better and get their treatment plan adapted. Don't forget, we'll be pointing people to GPs or pointing people to hospital centres, the diabetic centre, for example, in the Mater Hospital or wherever, in order to get adjustments to their plan. We need to be freed up from all the nonsense that goes on behind the scenes in a dispensary. You know yourself, you walk in, kind of speak to the pharmacist, it could be 5 minutes before somebody can come out because we're checking names and this and that and the other thing on all different platforms. Patients, if we can spend more time with patients, patients will be more compliant and therefore they will be able to manage their conditions better.
Actually, you've just reminded me of something. Now, I want to get back to the business, but since I have you here, when I go into a pharmacy and I want to get drug X or whatever, mm-hmm. I can see it on the shelf.
Yes.
How come I have to wait 10 minutes or 15 minutes?
Because you're in a queue. Because there's
No, when I'm not in a queue.
Yeah, you are. But you're in a virtual queue. Because there's lots of, so we get email prescriptions in now. We have...
I wasn't talking about your place now, in general.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you don't wait 10 minutes in my place. But you see, don't forget there's somebody's just been in 5 minutes before you and we've said, would you like to wait or do you want to go off and have a coffee?
But so we're in a virtual queue. The package
it's not
off
as simple
the
as that.
Shelf.
We're not dealing in Skittles here now, Connell. We are dealing in medication, you know, and people say that to me all the time. You know, there's a safety element. You know, we've got processes in place and there are people who are, it may not look like we're doing anything, but actually there is a virtual queue.
Let's get back to business.
Yes.
Why does Una O'Hagan mentor women on the Going for Growth program?
Because I think women deserve better. That's as simple as that. We are half the population, Connell, and we are just, the inequality is just, listen, we all know, yeah. We have a gender gap. At the boardroom, we're not well represented. We have a pay gap. We have, listen,
It hasn't held you back.
Well, it hasn't held me back because, as I said earlier, you know, I didn't realise actually how fortunate I was growing up and having a mentor like my mum. You know, we grew up in a household where my mum always worked as children, even for me as a very young age. She was leading a team of probably 200 women at that time in our local community, a manufacturing company, making a British manufacturing company, Courtauld's, making bras and knickers for Marks and Spencers.
And that was pretty chunky stuff to have 200 people because you are from deep rural. Plumbridge, because I looked.
Did you look it up?
I looked at it and I went, there's a
blink and you miss it.
Small little place.
It's tiny. But you see, that manufacturing plant was, you know, she brought people from all over various different townlands. You know, people travelled from Strabane and even Oma and Stuart. So to Plumbridge to work there. And don't forget, we grew up in the time of the Troubles as well. So she was bringing people across a political divide to leave their political views at the door and to work together as machinists under the one roof. So not only did she make huge progress in terms of just the business element and production and manufacturing and was absolutely obsessed about productivity, and that's probably where I get this inefficiency gripe that I have, but also in terms of quality, but also, you know, she did huge work for politics, I guess, and was very rightly recognised by Mo Mullen at one time for her work in that. So she, I suppose, again, when I grew up, Connell, I thought that was normal. I thought what she did, every mummy did it, you know, but now I realise actually she was a bit of an enigma and is still to this day a bit of an enigma. And she always said, you know, you've got to make a difference. If not you, you know, who? Stop talking about it and do something about it.
And you mentioned the word gripe there. What is your favourite or least favourite gripes about women in business that you just say, oh, for God's sake, that's the same problem again. How can we fix this going on a much, much broader scale?
I would say it's probably confidence.
It's a very interesting area, isn't it?
Confidence,
what
is
that about?
I don't know what it is. I guess, I think, to be honest with you, everybody in life needs a role model. Unless you see it, you can't be it. That's what I feel.
If you go onto LinkedIn, a 19-year-old man will say that he's already run the world and he can run a nuclear reactor, no problem at all. No.
Yeah.
You do the same with women on LinkedIn.
Yeah, no, we don't. We act differently. And I see that, you know, even in my Going for Growth ladies all through the years, and I've been mentoring since 2016 in that program.
How many would you have mentored over the period?
Every year, 8 to 9. I've 9 this year. So 2016 to 2023, probably 80 women that program. And that's through that structured program. Then I would mentor a few ladies outside of it as well. So probably, I don't know, maybe the guts of 100 women, which is really important to me because, you know, somebody did it for me, I guess. Somebody helped me. And I really firmly believe that you have to extend the hand backwards and help other people.
And how do you beat the missing confidence into these brilliant women?
Well, I think, again, what I say is once they can see that how to do it or that there's somebody willing them on, it becomes baby steps. Like, it really is baby steps. And it's the small little wins and champion those small little wins to build their confidence. And it's the slow progress. I take my ladies from January to June. In January, the body language is very telling. The shoulders are down, the head is down. By June, they have a pep in their step. They're walking out. They can take on the world. The shoulders are back and they are thinking, let's go do this. Let's do this. And that's what gives me the biggest joy. And that's why I will always be involved in Going for Growth, because
Paula Fitzsimons is going to love you. And I know you love all of your children equally in terms of the ladies that you have mentored.
Yeah.
But give us a hint of one or two outstanding ones that you just think, watch that.
Oh, gosh. Throughout the years, I have mentored many of them. Well, even in the Going for Growth community itself, people that I know personally through my business, through work, like I think Amy Connolly has to be called out in terms
Wonderful.
Of Sculpted. Yeah,
yeah,
she's phenomenal. And I remember Amy the very first day that she came in to pitch to us that first product, and where she's come from now
when
is phenomenal.
When she pitched it, first of all, did you say, this is going to be huge?
Yeah.
I
could see it in her, the passion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really, you're back in the person really, aren't you?
And now she's gone global.
Yeah, she's gone global.
Unbelievably
Unreal.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously she's your favourite child.
Well, she actually didn't mentor her personally, but listen, there's many. I couldn't pick one of them.
Like, We are actually kind of out of time. So
okay.
I'm going to have to ask you, you know, the last question, and I presume that you read your email as to who would Una O'Hagan hire in a heartbeat?
I think it would have
she
to be.
She read it. This is unusual.
Louise Phelan, ex-PayPal. Louise is also a lead entrepreneur on the Going for Growth program with me. And you know what? She's just a straight shooter. She says it as it is, no messing. And what I love about her, and probably why I connect so well with her, is that she is obsessed by people as well. And just the value in getting the best out of people, nurturing talent, growing talent, developing people, not only for the business, but actually just because it's the right thing to do.
And I have, and I say this to you as honestly as I can, women who have talked to me about both you and about Louise, but particularly about you, is the support that you have given them. It's transformative. It is wonderful. No, but I kind of am huge on the whole mentoring thing because it works.
It does work. Yeah.
It's not a magic wand.
No.
It's just works because, again, on the mentoring, you take phone calls, don't you? From them.
I do, yeah.
And what would a phone call entail? That could be half an hour or an hour.
Yeah.
Talking with people off the ledge.
Yeah, well, exactly. There's a lot of talking people off the ledge. Listen, most people I find have the answers. They know the answer instinctively. If you listen to your gut, you will always know the answer. But sometimes people just need someone to listen and to talk it out loud, to go through pros and cons. And, you know, I think my role as a mentor is not to necessarily give advice or, you know, they have the answer. It's to facilitate them coming up with the answer themselves. Because I would never want to say you have to do X, Y or Z for that to be the wrong decision for them. They've got to make their own decision. So being a mentor is to give them, point them in the right direction for the information they need, or to connect them to a person that they need, you know, and that's why I'm involved in so many networks from EY to Deloitte to whatever, because you get to meet a lot of people there for, and I may never use their services, but somebody else could do. And so I'll connect people to relevant people who can help them, really.
But that opens up again. How busy can you be?
Well,
anyway,
do you know? Not busy enough.
That may be for another day, because that is wonderful. And again, thank you so much, Una O'Hagan, for joining us on That Great Business Show.
You're welcome.
You're an inspiration to people in business. And thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
You're welcome.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars.
That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Done Deal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
De Facto Shaving Oil, the world's best shaving oil. Made in Mayo, sold worldwide. It's all go, let Chrissy know on thatgreatbusinessshow.com. That Great Business Show.
And that's it from That Great Business Show, episode 143. Great business insights and inspiration, all thanks to our sponsor, dundeal.ie, the only place to find your next car, new or secondhand. Do sign up to our email updates at thatgreatbusinessshow.com. We'll send you the latest news, as well as your own personal copy of the podcast that you can then send on to all your fear pals to show off how much you know about business. If you want to advertise with us, please get onto the website. And we record at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where Lee Brennan is today's sound engineer. And later on, Peter Rice will add his magic, making us the best sound around. So from me, Conlon Moran, buíochas to you all, agus slán tamall.